Okay, good morning. So, the last couple, Shiurim, we talked about Rav Lichtenstein giving a general, broad view of what role tshuva plays. Is tshuva mitzvah? Is tshuva an opportunity? The Torah camouflages the mitzvah aspect of it. There's really no pasuk that commands us in a mitzvah. And in religion, an opportunity sometimes creates an obligation. So tshuva is a paradigmatic that sometimes if there's an opportunity and you waste it, that itself. And the fact that tshuva is optional shows us that we want to perform tshuva for the optional moments in our life that we waste. So it's a very broad sense of what role tshuva plays. I'd like to discuss a shira that Rav Lichtenstein gave, which I think is very unique, and the more that I read it, the more that I realize how unique it is. Very often when we think about tshuva, and obviously one aspect of tshuva is our behavior and our deeds and our actions, we tend to migrate towards our actions, the source of our actions, the reason of our actions. We look at our averos. We very rarely look at the mitzvahs we perform and the motivation behind the mitzvahs and the inner part of our hearts. We think about averos. We think about the environmental, psychological factors that cause averos. We try to atone for averos. So much of Yom Kippur is aver-oriented. We want to try to improve ourselves. If I could just take an anti-avera pill and eliminate all my averos, then I would think I could equip myself from tshuva because I'm not performing any averos. And very often we don't look at, well, forget averos. What about our inner religious life? What about the reason we perform mitzvahs? So this is a piece we entitled V'tahir Libeinu Li'avdecha B'emes. Rav Aaron said he loved that pasuk. We thought about the pasuk a lot. V'tahir Libeinu Li'avdecha B'emes. And in classic Rav Lichtenstein fashion, he disassembled the pasuk into three parts. What does it mean, emes? What is Libeinu and what is Vitayr? Or I'm sorry, what is Emes, what is Vitayr, and what is Li'avdecha? So in each part of this section, he went through what is Emes, how does Tshuva improve our Emes, how does Tshuva improve our Tahara, and how does Tshuva improve our Avoda? And not just avoiding this chait or avoiding that chait. So let's start with Emes. Let's talk about Emes. How do we reach Emes in this world? Emes is elusive. No human being can reach Emes. We live in a false world. We're all multiple beings. We all have multiple layers of personality. We all have self-deception. So MS is difficult. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, and we want to try to encounter and rendezvous with Hashem during these days. Part of the brachas, we always refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can't tell him MS, it's Baruch HaMS HaKayim Lod. Baruch HaDashem, HaKadosh 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 HaKadosh. This is the period of trying to copy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's MS, even though we'll always fall short. So Rav Aaron said there are two ways that we want to achieve MS. One is we want to avoid error. Sometimes the opposite of MS is a mistake, is error, is falsehood. Sometimes it's not just an error, sometimes it's corruption. And so when we think of the difference between what does MS oppose, sometimes it opposes a mistake. Sometimes it opposes something more sinister and corrupt and a forgery. So what are the errors we're trying to eliminate in our lives? And what's the falsehood or the corruption we're trying to eliminate in our life? So the errors, Rav Aaron said, there are three types of errors we encounter. One is errors when we learn Torah. You make a mistake, you have the wrong halacha, you perform the mitzvah the wrong way. There's nothing sinister, you don't know in many cases. You made a mistake, you're a shogeg. But those are still errors. Those are still mistakes. Those are still the opposite of emes. The second aspect is emunah. We live in an age in which there are many, many challenges to our emunah. Have you ever doubted? Have you ever wondered? The end of Hashamnu, the Hashamnu Baganu Gazalnu. So what is the tough? Chichasnu, Tiavnu, Ta'inu. Ta'inu means we've wandered. According to many, Ta'inu means we've wandered intellectually. In our world, we face a lot of doubts. And how much of those doubts have they crept into our system and started to confuse us theologically? Unfortunately, in today's world, how many of you took courses in high school? How many of you actually studied emunah? You studied Gemara, you studied Halacha, you studied Musar, but if any of you studied emunah, more than just saying, this is what we have to believe in, because sometimes just leaving it at that simple level can expose you to frustrations and confusion when you read the real world. One of the major problems of our world today, and I'm not sure that our generation has a solution for, is how do people, especially people of homosexual orientation, how do they keep their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Even if you're not homosexual, it's a real challenge, a real question. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's Aser, and it's very clear in the Torah, and there's no moving away from that position. On the other hand, good, kind, normal, healthy people believe, in all sincerity, they were created that way, and science has backed them up. So even if you're not homosexual, how do you wrestle with that question? How do you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created people in a way that he doesn't want them to behave? That's a very, very powerful question. I don't believe that we're going to find easy answers. That's not, and many, many other questions that we ask. And it's important to ask those questions that you can really fortify your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are mistakes we make, not just in halacha or in Torah and halachic practice, but in our encounter with Hashem. What are we meant to believe in? And then, of course, there are mistakes in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so hard to understand Hashem. When's the last time you thought of Hashem as a parent? When's the last time you thought of Hashem as a grandfather? When's the last time you thought, at some level, this is all idolatry, because Hashem is unknowable. So we're allowed to make believe that he's our father. We're allowed to make believe that he's our husband. We're allowed to make believe, but as long have you reinforced the sense that you can't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Has some of the world in which we live, obviously we don't live in a heavy pagan world, but we live in a world in which people talk about God in human form, has that crept into your heart? So it's not just your actions and your learning and your belief, but also your very way of identifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sometimes is subject to error. And who would have thought that this is our tshuva? We think about tshuva, internet, waste of time, Lashon Hara, Kibbutz Avraham. Who would have thought that tshuva has to penetrate into your deepest relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your emunah, your way of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rav Avraham felt that it did. What about not error, but what about corruption? Where are we corrupted? And corruption of the heart. It's v'tayr libeinu, not v'tayr gufeinu. This is a corruption. How does our heart become corrupted? So Rav Avraham talked about three different corruptions of Avodas Hashem, three different corruptions of religion. One is hypocrisy. One is shallowness, and one is yuhara. What's hypocrisy? What's shallowness? And what's yuhara? So hypocrisy is, you're not in it for Hashem. You're in it for yourself. Rav Aaron actually quoted something that Rav Amital often quoted. Could you imagine if we took Marah and Shul, it's a Hasidic story, message, if everyone ate Marah and Shul and took Dal and Minim at home. How much money do you spend on Dal and Minim? In Chutzlar, it's hundreds of dollars. How much money do you spend on Marah? $3 for lettuce? Why? Because everyone knows that the Dal and Minim you're going to show off in Shul. So you have to have a nice little Vanessa. And the Marah you're eating at home. Could you imagine if the script were flipped and everyone ate Marah and Shul, people would spend $500 on lettuce. Look at my lettuce, look at the veins, look how green, look at the stalks, no bugs, look how white the stalks are. And they spend $2-3 on an esrog. So sometimes we're not in it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're in it to preen, we lack tznius, we're showing off, we're trying to demonstrate our firmkeit to people. So many chumras people take just to show off. I don't want to list them because I don't want to get into them for detail. Be very, very careful not to take a chumra that's too public, because you may be in it for yourself and your own hypocrite. And then the shallowness is, are we really deeply engaged in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we perform actions and we go about our business and we're involved in the mechanics, but it doesn't carry the same depth and the same, sometimes it's hard, sometimes at this age you're still, I don't want to say it in a denigrating fashion, sometimes you're still developing your depth. Very often problems that boys your age have in religion are merely reflections of emotional maturity, right? Really, I feel like my religion is shallow. Very often that's because your life is still not as, I don't want to say it's shallow, that sounds deprecating, but it's you're still trying to develop depth. And the guys come, I don't feel passionate about learning. In many cases, you don't know what passion is. Passion is not watching football and eating potato chips and playing sports. Those are fun, those are entertaining. That's not you can't be passionate about those things. You're passionate about something deeper and more long-lasting. So do we have depth? Do we have resonance? Do we have integrity? Do we have sincerity to our Avodas Hashem? And then finally, Rav Aaron spoke about Yuhara. Who would have ever thought that on Yom Kippur, we should think about Yura. But have you taken chumras that don't match your current Avodas Hashem? Chumras are not just something you take unlimitedly, but they have to match where you are. They have to be reflective of your state. And sometimes if you overreach and you try to behave in a way that you're not, Chazal didn't take to that very kindly. Not only because people are watching and you're trying to show off, but also because it's the famous story with Rav Amital, that a boy once got into his car to take a tramp. And he asked him, Rebbe, should I wear wool tzitzis? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, Hayyei Shemayim should wear wool tzitzis. Rav Amital said, you're reading it differently from the way I'm reading it. You're reading it that if you want to be a Hayyei Shemayim, wear wool tzitzis. I'm reading it, become a Hayyei Shemayim, and if you are a Hayyei Shemayim, then you should be wearing wool tzitzis. Namely, work on Kibbutz Avraham, work on Lashon Hara, work on Bein Adam L'Chaver, work on Davening, work on the hard parts. And then, okay, now I'm not saying you shouldn't wear wool tzitzis, because sometimes, as you said last night, the Vayit, you have to fake it to make it. Sometimes externals transform ourselves internally. But sometimes people act out of step, especially in davening, is an old Hasidic concept. That if you try to daven beyond your league, that's when machshava zaros come in. We always try to fight machshava zaros and strange thoughts. It's when you're natural and you're yourself, you're not going to have machshava zaros because you're you and those are your thoughts. When you try to daven as someone you're not and try to play role and play act something you're not, that's when machshava zaros set in. So Rav Aaron opened before us this entire world of internal tshuva, and not about actions, but about the thoughts of our heart, and not just when we sin, but even when we perform mitzvahs, what type of motivation, what type of drive, why are we performing the mitzvahs? Mitzvah Shem on Friday, we're talking about the next thing you spoke about, and that's not particular aspects of internal failure, but overall, are you a person of integrity, or are you a person that doesn't demonstrate integrity? So this is a very, I think, I've started to read this book this year, and this really resonates within me. This is a very, very deep, penetrating, I say even revolutionary piece. I'm reading it again. The Varan's works, you got to read it 3, 4, 5 times at the least, just to appreciate it. Every sentence is so dense and compact. So let's see how this piece takes us, okay? Tomorrow is Chassidus. Thursday is Rashi. We'll get back to this in Erev Shabbos.